Matthew chapter 1. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. I just want to say, if there's a church across the country, if I just didn't know where to go, what to do, I would come to Tabernacle and I would join Tabernacle immediately as soon as he would let me, underneath the leadership of your pastor, Pastor Robert Spurbeck, and I mean that with all my heart. I could come here and join this church just like that. And if you're wondering if you should join this church or something, you should just join, and if he'll let you. And so talk to him first. I'm joined, Pastor. It doesn't work that way, but join up. And I really join up. And so let him know and come see him. And Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, we'll look at the scriptures here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Wow, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. A wonderful name. I'm going to talk about one of the characters in the Bible tonight, and this is that's in this passage here. Of course, we're going to talk about Jesus. He amplifies Jesus. I would call it the countenance of a just man, Joseph. I want to talk to you about Joseph tonight. This is a very practical, kind of more of a laid-back, easygoing sermon, and I hope that that blesses you through the Holy Spirit. Father, help us tonight. Do the work that you said you would do through the promise of your Holy Spirit, because you said, ask, and it shall be given you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the word Joseph, and we have a Joseph or two here tonight, it's a great name. It's a good name. It's in the Bible. And you never hear a wrong thing about the Josephs that I've read in the Bible. You think of Joseph, who was put in shackles by his brothers, and he was led away, but he never talks about his sin. He talks about him just did what was right all the way through, and he just did what was right. There are several Josephs. There was Joseph, who was a counselor in the Bible, and Luke 23:50, he was a good man, it says, and a just. You hear some other Josephs in the Bible, and one of these here is basically the stepfather who adopted Jesus Christ. This is Joseph, and I want to give you some thoughts about Joseph. And the first thought is he was a just man. He had a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Your name. What is your name? So my name maybe isn't too good tonight. I'm really not sure what my name are. You maybe your name would be a liar, or your name would be cheat or thief, and maybe nobody knows that, and maybe it would be immoral or something else like that, or just don't control your heart and your eyes or your mind. That would be your name if everybody really knew who you were. That would be what your name is. And your name, by the way, what goes on in private usually comes out in public. And you have a name. I just want you to know tonight, if you have the wrong kind of name, you can come to an altar at the end of the service and you say, by God's grace, I'm going to let God, and I'm going to ask God to change me and change my name. I could give an invitation right out, but I'm not going to do it, but you could just save that for later. But you can ask for a change in your name. I mean, just look at, the Bible, in the lineage of Jesus Christ, there's Rahab the harlot. The Bible never stops calling her that. He just calls her but she was a changed woman. I believe she married one of the two spies, and she went on and served God. Joseph, it says here in the passage, and And Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man. He was a just man. As I think of the kings of the earth, there was about 40 kings. That's there's give or take two or three there. There was about 40 kings. There was out of those 40 kings of Judah and Israel, there was only 8 kings that said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right. Even Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6, it says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I don't think of Solomon most of the time as you think of as a glorious king, the most wealthy, powerful king, the wisest man of all the earth, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You think of David, you think, wow, that guy there, and the ones that were good kings were David and Asa and Jehoshaphat, great Jehoshaphat. I just like that word, great Jehoshaphat, and Uzziah and Jotham and Hezekiah and Josiah. Those kings were the good kings, those that God said, and Jehu, kings. But some of these kings, like Amaziah and Joash and Solomon and Jehu, excuse me, they started out good, but they ended bad. They didn't end too good. And I just want to say that how we finish our race is so important. If you run a mile race or a 20-mile race and you start out real slow and you start out slow and the object is just to finish the race and you finish the race well, you say, I'm not a fast runner. And you say, well, forget running for me. That would be me. I'd be back there walking with you. And you say, but you finish the race and you finish it well to the best of your ability. You did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't matter if you start slow. If you win and you win the race, you've won the race if you've done what's right. Amen. We're not talking about ability or skills or this or that. Here's a man that was a just man. Several men in the Bible, several people in the Bible that God names as just. In Genesis 6 and verse 9, there was a generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Job was called a just man. He called himself a just man. Job 12, verse 4, and as one mocked of his neighbors who called upon God, and he answered, saying, the just upright man is laughed to scorn. He's combating with his friends there, and he says, hey, you're laughing at me right now, but the just man is upright. He's laughed to scorn. John the Baptist was called by Herod. Mark 6 and verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man, and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. He was called by one of the wickedest rulers, kings of all times, a just man. You know, wow, that guy was just. And we think of him. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. Luke 2 and verse 25. And the same was a just and a devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. In Luke 23 and verse 15, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. That goes on. Cornelius, a centurion, it says in Acts 10 and verse 22, a just man and one that feared God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, and was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Just men. Joseph, the stepfather, the one that had the upbringing committed to him, the help upbringing, if he had to do any upbringing at all, the guiding hand for Jesus. This Joseph that was chosen was a just man. Would God choose you because you're a just man? We're getting ready to pay our taxes soon if you haven't paid them yet. Are you gonna do the wrong thing in keeping some funds secret? Or are you gonna be just about it? Are you gonna have a clear conscience about it? You're going to sell a car, you're going to buy a car, you're going to do this or that. Are you just about what you do? Are you just about what you do? A just man. He was a just man. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, it gives a clip about him, Joseph. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Every year for 12 years, Joseph took Jesus so that Jesus could fulfill all the law and the prophets, which he did. And God used Joseph to do that. He was a just man who fulfilled the law. He was a God-fearing man. going back to our text, he was a God-fearing man, and he did fear him. He was also, I believe, a very loving and a kind man. You say, how do you know that? Matthew 1 and verse 19, it talks about this character of him. He was not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put away privily. And this is not a Nestle shouting and hollering sermon. This is kind of a quiet sermon. But think about it. He didn't want to hurt this lady. He didn't know what was going on. He was a hurt. Could you imagine the hurt in his heart? All of a sudden he finds out she's expecting baby. I know I'm not the father. What's going on here? What am I going to do? And he just very quietly, because he was such a kind man, wanted to put her away privily and just do this thing privately. Say, what was the public thing? Who knows what the public thing was? Stoning. Thank you, Brother Scott. So some others. A stone pile. They would have put Mary underneath the stone pile. And so he was a kind man. I think he was a thoughtful man. In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, he just wasn't going to say, well, just take her out and kill her so I can move on with my life. And no, he was thoughtful about this thing. He was thinking about this thing. That's, by the way, the kind of men that we need to be. We need to be men that are thoughtful. We need to be men that are kind. We need to be men that are graceful. And also, we need to be men too, but we need to be men that are kind and that think things through. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph, saying, and telling him all these things. He was a kind, loving man. He believed he loved his wife. And He went on to have at least four more sons by this wife, his wife Mary. And he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. We'll get back to that. But they were in Luke chapter 2, going back to Luke, because we've got two stories here. Luke chapter 2, it's an interesting, in verse 42, it says there, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days that they returned to the child, Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it, and they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, we are in Luke chapter 2 and verse 46. And when it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all these things heard him and were stunned at his understanding. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, look at this. Thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. If you're missing your child, someone was missing their child for a few minutes over at the prophet's chamber. And people were running around. I was like, hey, what's going on? And I was standing right by this door. And they're looking. I didn't see the little girl going right past me into one of the rooms and shut the door and was having fun in the garbage can. And those kids, things the kids do. I was like, well, she made a mess of that. How did that happen? You know, I was like, you know, she had, anyhow, never mind. We're not telling all the secrets. She was having a good time in there. And stuff was everywhere. And powder everywhere, all kinds of stuff. She was having a good time. And I was amazed at all the stuff that she got into. She was right there by the door. But that was just half an hour. Here is days. They thought he was dead. They saw someone kidnapped him. They saw him and they're sorrowing. Oh, what has happened to our son Jesus, what has happened? But Jesus was sorrowed for by Joseph. It's interesting. He loved his son. He went back for him. I believe he loved Jesus. And by the way, well, that must have been hard to upbring Jesus, wasn't it? Because he never sinned. He must have been a patient man. He was a hard-working man. In Matthew 13, verse 55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the carpenter's son? They said, well, he was a carpenter. He was a man that was a hard-working man. He was one that was just a plain man with words. In Luke, since you're there, in verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 22, it says here, in chapter 4 and verse 22, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. This is Jesus speaking. Just gracious words. Oh, when we see Jesus and hear him just say a few words to us, what a day that'll be. If you just lay his hand on my shoulder, or on your shoulder, what a day that'll be. They proceed out of his mouth of Jesus, and they said, but they're talking about, is this not Joseph's son? You say, what was Joseph known for? Joseph wasn't known for being eloquent. He wasn't known for having a great amount of knowledge. He possibly couldn't even read or write. We don't know that for sure. But who is this Jesus, because he came from Joseph, he's just a plain speaking guy. Hey, don't despise simple, plain speaking people. Don't despise people. There's some people in my church, and there's some of the it seems like Ammons is full of people, poor people. And you just remind yourself, they came out of drugs, or they came out of this, and they just, you know, and this is where they're at, and just love them. And hey, if they're doing something for Jesus, praise the Lord, they can even come to church, praise the Lord, they can even get to church, praise the Lord, that they function at all. Just praising the Lord for them. You remind yourself of that as a pastor. He was just a plain man. I want to say that Joseph was a faithful man. He went every year to the temple and he fulfilled what he was supposed to do. He was a just man. Galatians 3:11 says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. I believe he was a man that was full of faith. I believe he was a man that walked by faith. I believe he was a faithful man. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I was thinking of this and talking to someone about this, and what is such a connection and is a wonderful thing for me and a thoughtful thing for me is when I come to Tabernacle, or I could go to Victory, or I could go to Freedom, or if I ever went to Mexico, which I hope to do, and if I ever go to Mexico again and get in that far into Jalisco, if I can get up in there and go to that church, If I go to whatever church it is that is there, I could go anywhere, and the connection is the faith. The faith. That is the connection. And that is the first connection. The first connection should be in marriage. Maybe your marriage didn't start out that way because you were lost or you didn't understand or didn't. But that's always the best connection, and the most sound connection is your faith. Your faith. How religious are you? That's important. Religion, pure religion and undefiled. We don't like the word religion. Jesus didn't like the religious folk. But pure religion and undefiled is to visit the widows and the elders and those people and someone that has compassion. But Joseph was a believing man, someone that was faithful. He was a just man. He did what he was told to do. Going back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 24, I'm going to skip through some of this. When Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He married her. And he knew or not, I believe that somehow he knew he wasn't supposed to touch her and do these things until the first child came, which was Jesus. He was obedient. He was obedient to the end. He did exactly what God told him to do, and the Spirit and the Lord guided him. The Holy Spirit guided him. He directed him step by step and led him. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I mean, this is a Joseph that would be out on soul winning when he was supposed to be there. He would do what God had told him to do. When the door was open, the pastor wouldn't be standing there by himself waiting for people and have to go out visiting by himself, which I have had to do many times because I got two of my kids going on the van route, the bus route, and one's working or the other. Then sometimes there's two working. Sometimes I don't know where they're at. But anyhow, I had to pull up the Life 360. All right, where are they? Okay, he's American. Okay, where's they? All right, okay, now I can go visiting. And I go visiting by myself. And I do that probably a couple times a day. Not here, but while we're in here. So, you know, and just go, are you faithful to what God has called you to do? If God calls you to change the sign, are you faithful to change the sign? Or does the pastor call, hey, you didn't get the sign changed yet. You didn't get the sign changed yet. Hey, I missed you this week, or where were you? What's going on with you? I haven't seen you. Are you just a Sunday morning Christian once in a while, and this is an abnormal Wednesday night? Or are you faithful to the house of God? Well, if you could possibly be here, you'll be here. And I know there's people that are sick tonight, and people that I understand that. They're faithful people. I'm not talking about any of those people. Are you faithful to do what you're supposed to do? And I was just praying about something. I feel God wants me to say it. They just say that a church like this, and I know that, I know who is here, but I tell you, one of the things that I'm counting on in our church is the young people and some in my family. We're counting on your tithes. The missionaries are counting on young people. The missionaries are counting on your tithe to keep them on the mission field. Your pastor's counting on the money that you make to survive and to live off of. And your giving shouldn't be every other week or sporadic. I mean, and by the way, And the preacher didn't ask me to preach on this, so I can preach on this liberally. So, you know, he didn't say anything about this. But tithes and giving, there should be no question of can we meet the need there? You say tithes and offerings. When have you robbed me? If you made, let's say you only made, really poor person, someone probably say that's me, $500 a week. And some retired people, that might be about right, $500 a week. And you gave $50 last week because it was your tithe. You just robbed God. And you missed the blessing. I would say probably if you didn't give $60, an extra $10, you missed the blessing, brother. Wherein have you robbed him? Not just in tithes, but in offerings. You young people, you young adults, you need to look at Joseph's life and say, hey, I need to get to work, and I need to make some money, and I need to, so I can give to God, and I can give abundantly to God, because you have more money to give than a lot of other people. You should be giving and meet the needs of this church and Freedom Baptist Church and the church in Mexico and Victory Baptist Church and Northside Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. You know, let us fear, lest any of us, look at the example that's given to us. It talks about in Hebrews 4:1. Let us fear, lest we come short of it. That entering into the promised land, why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Say, I can't afford a tithe. No, you can't afford not to get tithe. You've heard that before. You can't afford not to get tithe. You think of faithful men. This last week, about 8 days ago or so, I heard, got a call for a text actually from one of the members of our church, Pat St. Clair, and she called me. She wanted some advice, asked me if I had time to talk to her, and of course I did. Immediately called her, and she wanted to know if she should take a flight. I hope I'm not. I don't believe she's very open at all. And Miss Pat called us, a 75-year-old widow in our church, and I did the funeral service for her husband about a year and a half ago, and she's lost 4 siblings this year. 4. Wow, that's a hard year. Lost her husband, and then 4 siblings. Lost her brother Isaac, and Isaiah, and he was up in Maine, and just thinking of an example of faithfulness. He was up in Maine. He wasn't a pastor. He had a farm up there. He's farming a 5,000-acre farm, and he's got a nice farm. Everything's going well, and there was no church in the area, and he found a building that used to be a church, and he just went and checked into it, and people said, yeah, it used to be a church. You want the keys to it? You want to do something with it? And he agreed, and he said, yeah, I think I'll do something with it. And he opened up that church. He pastored that church for like 20 or 30 years without a salary, with a handful of people. And he pastored that church till he died for 50-some years. 50-some years. It wasn't until the last 10 or 15, 20 years of his life. That's my understanding of it. He did start to get a salary. It started out real small, like $50, $100 a week, and then they moved him up. You know what? Faithful man. Faithful man. Just faithfulness. That's what we need, is we need faithful people that are just going to stay by the stuff and do what God has called them to do and just be faithful. He acted on his faith. And he obeyed. Luke chapter 2, I'm going back there again because he obeyed the law and with some basic obedience. He just obeyed the law. I hope this isn't repetitive, but Luke chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, it talks in 4 and 5, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and the Judean city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse, wife, being great with child. He already had instilled in him the character that he was going to do what was required of him. He paid his taxes. He did what was right. The angel of the Lord came to him and told him, fear not, take him to, he took her to be married. Then the angel of the Lord came to him again and says, arise, go to Egypt. I mean, this is what I believe had happened. He already had a house or a place built on his father's house, probably an additional room to, as custom would have been, I believe, of that day. But he had a room probably built back at his hometown where he was going to live. Everything was set up. They were expecting him. And instead, he gets up in the middle of the night. He packs up. He takes his wife and Jesus, and he flees to Egypt. He did exactly. And he stayed there until God told him, and again, arise, Herod is dead, and go back. And he went back. He did exactly what God told him to do. He's back and forth, but he did exactly what God told him. He left, he went to Egypt, he left her family, he left his family, and he fled. He obeyed over and over again. He did a circumcision. He brought Jesus to the temple every year for 12 years plus. This really is not a deep sermon. It's just about a man who was a just man, who was a hardworking man, who was a faithful man. Let's just do what God has called us to do, no matter what happens.